The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. We see some themes that are constantly recurring in the scriptures, and our Lord is teaching the disciples today about both humility and wisdom. Whoever receives a child as this in my name receives me. Why did he say that when they were arguing about who was the greatest? Because children in that society were the least. They were the least. Children are not very valuable in a society when they barely could work enough to feed themselves. They could barely work enough to get fish. They could barely work enough to raise wheat or crops or barley or the grains. They depended so much on nature. They had a hard life. And many of the youngest died early on. So when Jesus says, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me and is greatest in the kingdom of heaven," he's turning the world upside down again. And he seems to do that a lot. Whoever is the first will be last. Whoever is the last will be first. He was trying on that journey to teach the 12, to teach the apostles, the ones he had chosen, something about the divine life. And he said, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." He said something like that to Peter just about a week ago, and Peter said, "God forbid that that ever happened to you, Lord." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. God's ways are not man's ways." Today, we hear in this book of wisdom something which is really not about wisdom, but which is about foolishness. "Let us beset the just one because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training." Is that what the just one really does? Or is it that the unjust are always envious of the just? The just don't go around parading it in front of people, but their very existence is a challenge to the way of life of the unjust. Then they get even more violent. "Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one is a son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes." That's happened over and over and over throughout the history of humanity. The martyrs are always martyred because they have said something that's obnoxious to the people of their time. Even some stupid stuff like the witchcraft trials in Salem back a couple hundred years ago, or 400 years ago. Let's test to see if they're really witches. If we burn them at the stake and they come out of it alive, then God must have been on their side, right? Or I'm thinking of an island somewhere. I saw this TV show once, and there was this island, and these people were castaways. I can't think of the name. But they were on this island, and they couldn't fix the boat, and Skipper couldn't get away, and there was this nitwit. What was it?
Gilligan's Island.
Well, there was one episode where there was a volcano. Now, you never saw a volcano there, but it appeared miraculously one day. And then some tribe from far away, even though they didn't have anybody nearby, this tribe from somewhere came ashore, and they were going to test things out. So they were going to take one of these girls to throw her in the volcano and see if they were all telling the truth. If she came out of it alive, she'd be, you know, they were telling the truth. Well, wicked people do this kind of stuff. And we see that in the world today. People just talk about everybody, and they say things, and they don't realize, but they join up with the foolish when they're gossiping and talking about other people. I know none of us do any of that, so we're in good shape, right? Okay. But the point is, the ways of God are not our ways necessarily, but we can make them our ways. Jesus was not crucified by people who were righteous. He was crucified by the unrighteous, the people who didn't understand God and his ways. Jesus came and said, "I come to do your will, O God." And by doing the will of God in front of other people, he was condemned to death. And it wasn't an easy death. He got crucified. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, you know, I can't believe in God anymore because this horrible thing happened to me, or I saw this horrible thing happen to somebody else, and I prayed to God that it wouldn't happen, but it happened, so what good is God if he can't make good things happen for me?" How would it be for Christians, would we exist at all today, if Jesus had said that on his way into Jerusalem? If God doesn't really approve the way I'm living and giving an example of living to people, then what's the use of doing it? I'm not getting crucified. But he didn't say that. He said, "I come to do your will, O God." And he did it to the most excruciating point that a human being could ever endure, an execution while being innocent. And then what does Jesus say on the cross? It's not that he forgets God, but he says, my God, why have you abandoned me?" But he still has faith in God, enough faith in God, that as he dies, his Father remembers him and he raises him up. He had to endure that. We have to endure things in this life. We might have to undergo health issues. We might have to undergo the death of a friend or a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a child. We might have a terrible car accident. We might have all sorts of things. Does the wise person believe that God is going to prevent all those things from happening? No. You look around, those things happen all the time. But what is the message of God for us today? The message is, stick with me. I will see you through it. I give you the sacraments. I give you baptism. I give you a second chance and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a thousandth in the sacrament of penance. I give you my body and blood from Calvary at this holy sacrifice of the Mass. I give you all of my love, everything I have, I poured out for you from that cross. That is how God is. So, as we go through life, as we have those struggles in life, as we get challenged in life, We're called to constancy. St. James, in his letter, the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant. Compliance is one of those things that we have the most trouble with, I think. Full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do all the wars come from? Where do conflicts come from? And he says, basically, the passions of your own members, your own selfishness. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain what you really want. You fight, you wage war, but you never possess anything because it's not so much that you didn't ask, but you didn't ask for the right thing. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly. Jesus gives us the perfect prayer, the Our Father. As we pray that prayer each and every day, we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus gave us a very simple prayer, but with sincerity, with honesty, with humility, with wisdom, as we take it into ourselves, as we work to cooperate with His Holy Spirit and allow ourselves to become more and more the body of Christ, we can share in the divine life. God doesn't force us to. God doesn't say, I refuse to take this one or that one. But He cannot force us to be like Him. We have to cooperate. We have to receive His grace in full and realized ways. When we come to this altar today, we receive His body and blood for absolute sure. Absolutely. But the transformation that takes place is only as strong as the grace we're able to receive. If we feel transformed, that's great. And in the Holy Spirit, may we all be transformed into the body and blood of Christ. God is giving us great gifts each and every day. God grant that we receive them as He has given us His gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.